conquered calls out to be explored. And I've answered that call and begun each day since I moved here with a long walk exploring my neighborhood and my new community. On my second day here, I discovered the Hapgood Wright Town Forest. I skirted the Fairyland Pond and took the Emerson Thoreau Amble. As I walked through the woods among the trees on this lovely winding trail, I began to feel more at home, more relaxed, capable, open. I was delighted to see visual art in the forest. I usually like the woods left natural, but this is a town trail, and I loved seeing its personality. The giant pencil and eraser, the sculptures made from old metal parts. My favorite is called Madeline Lord Gracious, and she wears a discarded electric fan as a hat. Then I came upon the poetry, written art, lovingly crafted and held by the trees. There were five signs that I saw, five lines of a forest poem. And from the direction I was walking, the first line was, "Make your way deeper in." Make your way deeper in. This invitation beckoned me further along the wooded path, dappled sunlight and birdsong my companions. I continued on with an invigorated attention. And I felt the instructions on a deeper level. I remembered a time in my early 30s when I was stuck. My husband and I were living in a place geographically and emotionally that did not bring us joy. I was empty and lost, and I didn't know where to turn for solace or the strength to make change. My one delight was our 4-year-old daughter. Then, as sometimes happens, I was brought abruptly awake by a crisis. I received a life-threatening cancer diagnosis. I did not have a religious community. I did not have spiritual practices to ground me. I did not even until then consider myself a spiritual being. But at that time, all the signposts told me to make my way deeper in, to find my essence, my strength, the core of God in me that I had never acknowledged. This challenging path of deeper in became a critical juncture in my spiritual journey, and it changed everything. I wonder, are there places in your life where you would like to make your way deeper in? The second line of poetry was a question, and it was offered from the trees, and it said this: "Who am I now in the forest? Who am I now in the forest?" In that moment, reading those lines, my answer was simple, uncomplicated. I am myself, unadorned, free, open, and among friends, alive. Over 20 years ago, the close encounter with my own mortality gave me a determination to be fully alive, no matter how many days I had, to prioritize being present, participating, seeing the beauty and the pain all around me with open eyes and an open heart. That is my prayer and my intention. Some days I am better at it than other days. But I see the absolute necessity of being in touch with my own spirit, trusting my inner voice and the unfolding of my life. I knew back then I had to leave New York City and live somewhere quiet and gentle. I found home in northern New York, and life conspired to fulfill a long-held dream to design and build my own off-grid solar house. I raised my daughter there among generous community and found love again and partnership. But the most surprising of all was a job that turned into a position of passion and a new career. I accepted a position as director of religious education for the Unitarian Universalist Church in Canton, New York, where I lived. I had not expected to fall in love with a religious tradition, a church community, and the way that it shaped me. But being part of that UU church was pivotal in developing me as a person and as a religious leader. Who am I in the forest? Who are you in the forest, in the world, in your own skin? How has this life changed you and grown you and inspired you? Tree poem number 3. Could you redraw the map? Could you redraw the map? What a beautiful question. I began to think about the geography of my own map. Raised on the Ohio River, just across the bridge from Louisville, Kentucky, on the Indiana side, I grew up secure and content, middle child of 5 and buffered by my siblings. We grew up with the gift of freedom to explore, and the message that we could do and be anything we wanted. Our futures were full of possibilities. Our life was grounded in family and the church. My dad was an elder in the Christian church where we attended worship, Sunday school, and Wednesday night Bible study with near-perfect attendance. I learned much from that church. I learned about the gift of religious community. Being among people who loved and supported each other and brought casseroles and prayers and hugs. I learned the singular joy of singing together, voices raised in praise. I learned about faith. As I grew, I also learned that the theology of my parents' church did not fit me. The God of that church does not see women as equals. Believes homosexuality is a sin and that there is but one road to God, and that is the narrow one that they walk. I went off to college quite happy to leave the confusion and contradictions of religion behind, to leave religion behind. But you have already heard how that went. Thank goodness life had another plan. My work as DRE changed my life. Became the roots that grounded me to my faith tradition, to my theology, to my daily way of living. But during those years working in that wonderful church, I began to hear a whisper calling me to something, calling me to ministry. I did not want to listen. My life was good and fine as it was. I did not want to change it. I did not want to redraw my map. I wanted that red dotted line of my life to continue through the gentle topography of my current map. The whisper, the call, the joy I felt doing the ministry my job entailed got louder. I resisted. I was in my 50s and content, mostly, except for that pesky yearning and that strong calling towards ministry. Could I redraw my map and change course at my age? And also, could I leave my familiar and well-loved home and community? Could my map be trailless and unclear? How? How could I not? Do you have a map that wants to be redrawn, perhaps in small ways or not so small? The fourth line of poetry simply said, forest, for rest. Reading those words, I noticed my shoulders loosen and relax, my breath soften. Felt the peace of the woods and trees wash over me. Since early childhood, being outside, especially in the woods, has been my refuge, has restored me and calmed me, has rejuvenated me and rooted me. I was delighted when I went off to college to learn that I could study to become a professional naturalist, and that my workplace would be the forests and meadows and rivers that I so loved. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in natural resources interpretation. And I worked for many years as a naturalist, interpreting the natural world to the public in parks and nature centers. In seminary, I once had a class where we were instructed to describe God. Thinking on that question, I immediately saw a clear image, so clear in my mind, I could smell it. The sun warmly dappled on a forest trail with tall trees and deep quiet, the scent of pine, the sound of the wind in the leaves, birds singing, a nearby stream. If this was God, perhaps I had always been interpreting the language of spirit, though I didn't know it. Forest for rest. I wonder, where do you find rest? And do you avail yourself of your restful place and replenish your spirit? The last line offered me of this forest poem was, "Each entry a prayer, each entry a prayer." I stand on a threshold right now, entering ministry, currently entering a new ministerial experience, a new community, a new phase, a new year. Can I see this entry as a prayer? A sacred connection with this moment. At each juncture of life, each entry is stepping into the unknown, as I'm doing now, as we have all done. I also notice this desire I have right now to move beyond the awkward discomfort of being new and of not knowing and of being a beginner. I want to be in the phase where I already know and I already belong, and I am settled, and I feel at home. But this exact place where I find myself is a gift. It is a prayer of connection with all the people who have ever been new, who felt afraid, who felt unsure, who have been a beginner. So I ask myself to savor it, to feel it, and receive its gifts. The next stage will bring its own beauty, and I hope to rest there someday. But today, I rest in my beginnerness, with the freshness of seeing something for the first time and the joy that that brings. The next time I see the poetry in the woods, I will smile and probably be reminded of some important things about living that I have forgotten. But it will never have the same impact on me as the first time I unknowingly wandered upon its messages in the trees, and my mind was startled awake, and I felt those words deeply and personally. I said yes to redrawing my map, and my prayer now, my entry, is a prayer of yes. That yes connects me to a future I cannot see from here. It reminds me of my swimming spot at home on the grass river, where I cannot see around the bend to where the river flows, but it goes where it is meant to. And that yes connects me to right now. And that yes will be my mantra when things get hard, all the things about change that shake me up and scare me and question me. This entry is my prayer, and it whispers, yes, yes,